The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, Artemis 2 is making its way home, so we're in the mood for all things space related. And with that in mind, presenter of Screen Time, John Fardy, has popped in to talk about movies about space. John, yes. Are you taking up space? You are taking up space. Are you a fan?
I am. If you think about it, so much of what we think about the moon and space in general comes from the movies. I mean, a lot of future astronauts probably first saw Space Odyssey or Interstellar or Apollo 13 or stuff like that. Like, it really feeds our knowledge. Well, not so, some would argue our knowledge, but our sense of space. And there's one in the cinemas at the moment called Project Hail Mary with Ryan Gosling, who seems to enjoy doing space movies, which is absolutely terrific. And I was talking to Luke O'Neill on my own show last week about the science in it. It's kind of accurate in some ways. And, you know, we talked before about what movies to take the kids to. A lot of people are saying this is like our children's generation's Back to the Future, with Ryan Gosling hurtling along to try and save the Earth, along with a little kind of puppet thing called Rocky. So that's a very good one.
Right. I mean, it does provide great fodder for a storyline, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, think about, you know, the drama of it. We're going to go to a different planet, and we're going to carry the hopes of the entire world with us. And, you know, there's probably something, not to get too philosophical about it now, but if you look at Artemis 2, there was such a collective kind of joy. I watched that live with my eldest. Mm-hmm. You know, the world's kind of gone to hell by most people's admission. The idea of this kind of non-national place out there where we can all look to is kind of heartwarming at the moment now more than ever. So maybe space movies might be having their time again, you know?
Okay. So now you're going to take us through some of the ones that you've picked out. That are you recommending these ones before we begin?
Well, these are great ones of the genre, can I just say. And I'm going to trip out our sound engineer by switching around the order here.
But you'll freak Cormac out. Not possible.
Exactly. He's well used to it. But I wanted to go back to 2001 Space Odyssey. It was actually from 1968. The great Stanley Kubrick sci-fi epic that contains multitudes about kind of prehistoric man and then this guy in space hurtling towards Jupiter. And it has this famous computer, HAL. And it was very prescient because the nub of the story is HAL, the computer, is trying to take over control of the ship.
Open the pod bay doors, HAL.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do.
What are you talking about, Hal?
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Hal.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me. And I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
Oh, Hal, you're so creepy.
Yeah.
That's AI, 1968.
Absolutely.
Style.
And the funny thing is, right, and this is a spoiler, but the movie is 50 plus years old. One of the great death scenes is when they turn Hal off. And who would have thought something so, you know, as a voiced robot, but it's actually very emotive.
Uh-huh, they kill him in the end, do they? Yeah.
Can you imagine Michael Knight turning off, you know, Kit and Knight Rider all back in those days?
We would never have allowed that.
Can I take it more up to date? 2014, Interstellar. Matthew McConaughey played this widowed NASA pilot who was called upon to find a kind of Earth-like planet B because the Earth was in crisis. That's one of the motifs in all these movies, or a lot of these movies, that the Earth is very much in crisis. So we're going to go out there to recolonize somewhere else to save us. And the thing about Interstellar is it's a great watch. Matthew McConaughey's in great form. You know, people can take him or leave him with the all right stuff.
Do you know what? Connor Sketches is Matthew McConaughey for me now.
He does him very well. And he is, you know, Matthew McConaughey has kind of become greater than himself, and he's become at times almost a parody. So people do forget he is a great actor, and he's a great actor in this as the widowed astronaut trying to save Earth. But what's interesting about this is the science is apparently, now I'm no scientist, as Bill Murray said, but is bang on, and they've even written papers about it. It's from the mind of Christopher Nolan, who doesn't do things lightly. And if there's going to be science in a movie, he's going to get it bang on. And as I say, there's been papers about this. Here's a little flavor of Interstellar.
Did it work?
I think it might have.
How do you know?
Because the bulk beams are closing the Tesseract.
Don't you get it yet, Tars? They're not beings. They're us. What I've been doing for Murph, they're doing for me. For all of us.
Cooper, people couldn't build this.
No, not yet. One day.
It's a bit breathy, isn't it, John?
Yeah.
Breathy.
Very breathy. What are we talking about?
That's Interstellar starring Matthew McConaughey. More space movies after this quick break.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
And John Fardy from Screen Time is still with me. We're talking about movies based on space. And I was confessing to John in the break that I have a sort of a rule, right? A really stupid rule. I don't like films about space. I don't like films about science fiction, and I don't like films about monsters.
Well, let's talk about Alien, because this is about a monster in space, which is perfect. So Sigourney Weaver plays Ripley, who you may know, When You Control Yourself.
Oh, God.
And the tagline from this Ridley Scott movie was, "No one can hear you scream in space."
Yeah,
so
even I know that.
So you probably hate this, right? Because it's a horror, it's sci-fi, but it's one of the best sci-fi movies of all time. And it is, again, about people in space. They're on a cargo ship. And do you know the horrible moment where there's a chest bursting and the alien comes out of it? That's one of the famous
scenes.
Yeah,
no, you see, I would never have seen that.
Yeah, no, I know. Maybe you've heard about it, though. And apparently the cast didn't even know. It's one of the great space movies of all time. And I'm going to play you a little clip with Cormac's permission. This is a spoiler, but things did not end well in Alien.
Final report of the commercial starship Nostromo. Third officer reporting. The other members of the crew, Kane, Lambert, Parker, Brett, Ash, and Captain Dallas are dead. Cargo and ship destroyed. I should reach the frontier in about 6 weeks. With a little luck, the network will pick me up. This is Ripley, last survivor of the Nostromo. Signing off.
Sigourney Weaver. I watched Avatar for the first time 2 weeks ago. It's incredible.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I did that, even though they do fall into the category of monsters, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Some of them anyway.
To me, not to go down a rabbit hole, but to me, that is like watching a screensaver. I have never, as much as I like James Cameron, I've never understood those movies. They're like watching, I see my kids playing video games and I think that's what I'm watching when I watch Avatar.
Avatar, you don't like it?
Not at all.
I enjoyed it.
I thought it was pointless. Well, look.
To the point where I'll probably watch the rest of them now because I'm in, you know.
You should watch Alien, like we talked about.
I'm converted.
Listen, I wanted to talk about Moon, right?
Yeah.
There's a movie called Moon, which is a great one with Sam Rockwell, who plays a guy lost on the moon, and he plays two versions of the same guy. It's a great movie by Duncan Jones. But the actual Moon and missions to the moon have long fueled Hollywood, you know, and there's been all sorts of movies. But the one that I think is the best is Apollo 13, which was about the moon mission that everybody watched back in the day that didn't quite come to pass. And it gave us, I suppose, one of the most famous phrases of all time, which people and radio producers utter all the time when things go wrong. But in Apollo 13, Ron Howard kind of recreated the mission and didn't use much dialogue outside of the transcripts, apparently. Like, it's a remarkable feat of cinematic writing because so much of it was based on the transcripts of the astronauts in the mission ship back to base. And of course, it gave us this very famous line.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
What did you do?
Nothing. I stirred the tanks.
Whoa. Hey,
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
We certainly do have a problem. Now, you mentioned the moon there. You know, looking at the pictures sent back from Artemis 2 this week of the far side of the moon, you kind of can understand why, if you are a creative in the movie industry, there's your inspiration right there.
Absolutely. It's like a Bourne film set. And it's funny, when you look at those images sent back from Artemis 2, your reaction is, wow, it's just like something out of a movie. Right? Actually, this is actually reality, you know? The best, to my mind, movie about the whole moon mission was Ryan Gosling and First Man, which was all about Neil Armstrong. You know, Neil Armstrong, he had a strange life. Like, he became the most celebrated person ever in some ways, like the first person to walk on the moon. But his life was weird because you come back from that, it's all anyone wants to talk to you about.
Yeah.
And you could imagine how strange that was. And people accused him of being dull and stuff because he had to retell the story over and over mm-hmm. and over again. It was a weird thing. And Ryan Gosling does a kind of summation of his life leading up to that and maybe the tragedies that fueled him and stuff like that. And the actual landing on the moon that you see in Ryan Gosling as Neil Armstrong in First Man is spine-tingling. It's my favourite movie, I think, on this list for a sheer cinematic celebration of what it's like maybe to be an astronaut and what it was like to be
Neil
Armstrong.
So that's First Man from 2018. That is your favourite from the list?
Yeah, indeed it is.
Okay, I feel like I might watch that actually.
There you go. I'm getting through slightly.
No, you are.
Stop those Avatar movies and start watching some of this
Alien
stuff.
Maybe not. First Man. Yeah, I'll go there.
Have we time for one more?
Yeah, throw in one more.
Gravity with George Clooney and Sandra Bullock is a great movie where Sandra Bullock is trying to fix something in space and she's on one of these space missions and she's in... it's called Gravity, but she has no gravity and she's in kind of suspended animation. So we see most of her trying to fix this thing on the side of a space station. And George Clooney is this kind of gnarled, haggard spaceman who's helping her with her. And then this debris comes and knocks them, which is actually a thing, the Kepler syndrome. See, I've done my research, and knocks them out of whack. And it's this really strange movie where they're gravity-less, if that's the correct term. Mm-hmm. And it's a really weird kind of feeling watching it. It's a great cinematic achievement. And it's kind of a human drama in space. We'll bring a tear to the eye. And I actually asked George Clooney about it when I interviewed him last year. I just thought I'd throw
name drop.
In, you know?
Name
yeah,
drop.
So stick around, Claire.
There's no gravity there. That fell to the ground like
plunk.
John, thanks so much.
Thank you.
John Fardy there from News Talk's Screen Time. The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.